For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoon.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better. Woo!
You know, two dudes talking sports.
It doesn't matter what your names are.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
God created the heaven. He created the earth. He created
the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
And good Tuesday afternoon to you all. Welcome to the Kenny and JT Show, minus JT. He's off today, so I'm flying solo. We only have you till 6 o'clock today, as we will turn it over at that time to the Buckeye Roundtable. But we are jam-packed in the 3 hours that we do have for you today. I don't know if you all watched it last night. I did. I sat in front of my TV and watched back-to-back women's games to determine who was going to be representing the last two teams in the Final Four in Cleveland, and what great games they were last night. Caitlin Clark and Iowa, Paige Beckers and UConn, their teams advanced to the Final Four in Cleveland on Friday, and what a Final Four it's going to be. South Carolina undefeated against North Carolina State, Iowa against UConn, and to break that all down, coming up today at 3:30, the outstanding head basketball coach for the girls at Jackson High School, Anthony Butch, will join me today to talk about what we saw last night from Caitlin Clark. Just an epic performance, 41 points. I think it was 12 assists, 7 rebounds. She tied an NCAA tournament record with 9 three-pointers, logo three-pointers, just so much fun to watch, and she makes everybody around her better. That was a great game. And then Paige Beckers wanting everybody out there to know, hey, you're talking a lot about Angel Reese. You're talking a lot about Juju Watkins. Caitlin Clark, don't forget about me. I'm coming off an ACL tear, and we lost 5 players to injury earlier this season, and here I am taking my team to the Final Four with her performance yesterday. I think she went 28-10-6, and just some great games last night. I love watching great players. I don't care what the sport is. I just love watching greatness. You know, I say, well, aren't you using that term a little loosely? No, I'm not. Caitlin Clark, one of the greatest female basketball players to play at the collegiate level of all time. Now, will she be able to do that, as a professional, the WNBA? I don't know if she'll be able to do that. We'll have to wait and see. But part of me thinks that just like when everybody doubted Larry Bird at Indiana State, oh, he did it at Indiana State. Yeah, they were undefeated until they played Magic in Michigan State. Is he going to be able to do that at the NBA level? Well, the answer to that was a resounding yes, and one of the greatest players of all time. I think she's going to be successful at the next level, and she's fun to watch right now, and I'm not worrying about whether she's going to take up Ice Cube on his offer for the 3-on-3 league or play in the WNBA or overseas or wherever it is. I can't wait to see her in person Friday in Cleveland. I got credentialed for the game, so I'm going to be covering both games Friday. 7 o'clock start. The first game on Friday night is South Carolina undefeated at 36-0 against NC State 31-6. And then 9 o'clock or somewhere in that vicinity on Friday night, the second game will feature Caitlin Clark and Iowa against Paige Beckers and UConn. And I've never seen Caitlin Clark play in person, Paige Beckers play in person. I cannot wait to see that game in Cleveland on Friday night. And then we'll see the two teams that win will play, they play Friday night. So they'll play Sunday at 3 o'clock in Cleveland for the national championship. So we're going to talk some girls basketball at the collegiate level with Anthony Butch coming up at 3:30. Also today. And I spent a lot of the afternoon thumbing through. I shouldn't say thumbing through, because that's the old school way, right? When you buy a book or you get a copy of a book from an author that you're going to have on as a guest, they usually send you a copy. It used to be a hard copy, right? And you'd flip through the pages, thumb through the pages, read some of the things so you could form some questions and everything. So I was on my computer and I'm not very good at it this way. I was going through as much as I could of the book, Maslin Against the World, the story of the 2023 Maslin Tigers. And the authors of that book, Scott Ryan, Becca Moore, going to join us at 5 o'clock today to talk about the book, the season, what's in the book. And I found a lot of it fascinating, behind-the-scenes stuff, right, that you're not going to get anywhere else. You're not. Yeah, these are things. Becca, the wife of Nate Moore, who's one of the best high school football coaches in the state of Ohio. He's led a parochial school, public school, right, to state titles. He's one of a very select few that has won two titles, two different schools. And their season, a lot of ups and downs, twists and turns on and off the field. They address all of that in the book. And I'm looking forward to talking with Scott Ryan and Becca Moore at 5 o'clock today. What else do we have coming up for you on the show? Tony, let's see here. The president of the Eastern Ohio Football Officials Association, Tony Moldovan, is going to join us. And if you want to become an official, if you're tired of watching poor officiating and all you do is bitch about it when you go to a game or you watch it on TV, well, here's an opportunity maybe for you to become an official. And Tony's going to join us to tell us about a special event that is coming up at Maslin High School. It is open to the public, and the goal of the event is to enhance the skills of current officials and attempt to recruit new officials. So it's a seminar on officiating, and Tony's going to join us at 4 o'clock. And if that's not enough, how about this? Our Giannino's Pizzeria prop or parlay bet of the week. It is worth $50 this week. We stunk last week. We missed out on our parlay? Yeah, I think it was a two-leg parlay last week, JT and I. And so we did not win. Sorry for our contestant last week, but that means a lucky contestant today will get a chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Giannino's Pizzeria. And I'll come up with a prop or parlay bet a little bit later on today. We'll do that either in the 4 or 5 o'clock hour a little bit later on today. So that's part of what's in store for you today on the Kenny and JT Show. We're also going to talk some Guardians baseball. Started off with 3 wins in a row in Oakland. Lost their finale in Oakland. Went to Seattle last night. Lost again. Final score of the game last night, 5-4. Seattle wins it. There's good news and bad news from last night's game. I'll give you the good news first of all right? Tristan McKenzie pitched and did not injure himself. That is very good news for the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, we kid about it, but it's true. He pitched 16 innings last year. That's it because of an arm injury. So he goes out yesterday. He pitches, didn't pitch great, only lasted 3 1/3 innings. But he comes out of the game. I think he threw about 80 pitches, okay? And no signs of injury. No signs of a setback, at least as of 3:08 p.m. on April 2nd. Let's hope that he's in line to make his next start and there are no setbacks, but as of right now, doesn't look to be. 3 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, 2 strikeouts, 2 walks, a homer, and 78 pitches, officially 47 for strikes. So while he takes the loss, and they lost, that's part of the bad news, the good news is he started, he pitched, he survived, and will hopefully make his next start. You want some other good news? The Guardians actually hit 2 home runs in 1 game yesterday. Unfortunately for them, they were solo blasts by Josh Naylor, his first of the year, and Tyler Freeman, his first of the year. So they had opportunities to break the game open, runners in scoring position, unable to do so. They rally back. They lose 5-4, but you want more good news? With all the injuries to the bullpen, we were wondering, how would that bullpen respond? Well, yesterday, they responded by throwing 4 2/3 innings of scoreless baseball. So, 5 runs, 4 earned. McKenzie, 3 1/3 innings. The bullpen, 4 2/3 scoreless innings. Didn't give up a run. Kept them in the game. Allowed them to come back and make a game of it at 5-4. But they come up on the short end. Want a little bit more good news in a loss? He's a road man. They lost the game. How can there be this much good news? Well, they threw out two guys at home plate. This is a team that, while they hit two homers yesterday, isn't going to hit a lot of home runs again this year. They're going to be in the bottom third as far as team home runs this year. Last year, they were dead last. Last 2 years, they're dead last combined. They're going to be in that bottom third, maybe even lower. So what do they have to do? They have to make plays defensively. And they threw out two runners at home plate yesterday defensively. So you got to do those little things if you're not going to be scoring a ton of runs or hitting a lot of home runs. So defense was, other than Josh Naylor's error at first base, defense was good. Bullpen was good. McKenzie wasn't great but didn't hurt himself. Couple of home runs, but they still lose 5-4. Guardians now 4-2 on the year, and they will play again tonight against Seattle. And we will have that game for you right here on WHBC. Tip off, I'll get to the Cavs in a second. First pitch is set for 9:40 p.m. Shane Bieber back on the bump, making his second start of the year for the Guards. Bieber 1-0 with six scoreless innings on opening day against the A's. Struck out 11, walked only one. Let's hope he can do more of the same for the Guards tonight. Get another win, which improves their record and also improves his trade value. So that's some Guardians news for you today. Cavaliers news, we have that for you as well. Cavaliers did not play last night. They were off, traveling to Utah. The Utes, did he say Utes? Yes, the Utes. Utah tonight hosting the Cavaliers. We will not have that game for you. We're going to carry the Guardians game. Utah is a team that's very beatable. They're 29-46. They have a lot of injuries just like the Cavaliers do. And unfortunately for the Cavaliers, their injury list grew by one just a short while ago. As I saw Chris Fedor post on Twitter, and Chris is the outstanding Cavs beat reporter for Cleveland.com, he posted that Donovan Mitchell is out as they are resting his knee that is bothering him. You heard JT and I talk about this yesterday a lot, right? You heard us discuss that Donovan Mitchell can't be 100%. We know he's dealing with the nasal fracture. And he's wearing the mask. But the main reason he was out was because his knee was hurting him. And I think we've all noticed it. I noticed it going all the way back to the All-Star game. I don't know if you remember us talking about it right after the All-Star game the next day. I said, you know what? Donovan, what do you have, 9 points in the game or something like that? I'm like, man, he was out there, but he wasn't really out there. And there was talk that he was sick. Well, I think you can put two and two together. Maybe he was a little under the weather, but that knee was barking at him then. You could see he didn't have the explosiveness, and he hasn't had it since. And he tried to come back maybe too soon. So he's going to sit out tonight's game, and then we'll see if he plays tomorrow at Phoenix. Cavaliers in a back-to-back situation as part of this left coast trip. As they lose at Denver by 29 on Sunday, off yesterday, play tonight in Utah, play Wednesday, tomorrow in Phoenix. Then they get a couple of days off, so maybe they won't play him tomorrow night, give him the extra rest. And then they've got back-to-back games in L.A., first against the Lakers on Saturday, and then Sunday against the Clippers. Then they return home for their final three games of the regular season against Memphis, Indiana, and Charlotte. You say, well, all right, Roadman, where do they stand as far as the seeding goes right now and in the standings in the NBA? Well, pull that up, take a look at it right now. Even through the struggles of a 7-10 month of March, the Cavaliers currently, hold on, got to put the cheaters on to take a look at this. Either that or I got to like blow up my screen here. Cavaliers at 45-30 are 14 games behind the number one seed Boston. Nobody's going to catch the Celtics. They'll be the one seed. Cavaliers are 2.5 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks for first place in the Central and the number two seed. So with that 45-30 record, the Cavaliers currently hold down the number three seed in the Eastern Conference, but they do so by only a half game over the New York Knicks one full game over the Orlando Magic, and just 2.5 games over sixth place Indiana. So the Cavaliers are on thin ice right now. Every game is going to matter, and you want to at least stay locked in at number four, and that's not a guarantee right now. Cavaliers could fall to five or maybe even six. I don't think they're going to drop down to seven, which would be the play-in tournament. Miami is 3.5 games behind the Cavaliers, and what do we say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 games left. If the Cavaliers struggle and don't win another game, yeah, they could drop into the play-in tournament. And I mentioned this a while ago. I think maybe it was Jay who calls to the show on a regular basis. We were talking about it, saying, told him, hey, they struggle. They could fall into the play-in tournament. Well, as we look at the standings now and see other teams struggling as well, I at least think the Cavaliers, the furthest they would fall would be to six, where the Indiana Pacers are currently 2.5 games behind the Cavaliers. But more than likely, Cleveland's going to end up 3, 4, and 5. Those are one of those three spots they're going to end up there, at number 3 seed, 4 seed, or the 5 seed. And my whole thing is, I'm not as concerned with what seed they get. I'm more concerned with who their first-round matchup is against. Now, I want home court advantage. Didn't help them last year. They got beat 4-1. But it's still an advantage. You play 82 games for something, right? You want the higher seed. You want the home court advantage. So I hope they're 3 or 4. But as long as they don't play, my opinion here, the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, or the New York Knicks in the first round, well, let me add one more team there. The Milwaukee Bucks, right? And the Boston Celtics. In that first round, I'm fine with that. So if they can stay 3, 4, or 5, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. All right? So that means if they can square off with the Magic or the Pacers, depending on how healthy they are, I think they can win that series. Against the Knicks, don't know if Julius Randle's going to return, OG's going to return, not sure. But the Knicks, if they're close to being 100%, just more physical than the Cavaliers, it's not a good matchup. It's just not. Miami, not a good matchup. I think we saw that with that 37-point loss recently, right? Better chance of beating the Pacers or the Magic, even though they're younger and they're the upstart team, right? The surprise teams. I would take my chances with the Cavs against the Magic or the Pacers. So that, to me, is more important than actually where the Cavaliers end up. It's who they're playing in the first round. The way the 1 and 2 seeds go, they play the play-in teams. And right now, that's Miami and Philadelphia, although the Bulls and the Hawks or the other two teams would get a chance to steal one of those spots. So maybe you would have, you could have, how about this? You could have Boston playing Philadelphia in the first round, and you could have Milwaukee playing Miami in the first round. And then the Cavaliers stay right in the middle there, and they go up against the Magic or the Pacers. That's the ideal scenario, in my opinion. That's what I would like to see. So we'll keep an eye on this. This left coast trip is not doing the Cavaliers any favors at all, man. Utah's beatable tonight. You gotta, in fact, you have to win tonight. This is your most winnable game over the next four against the Utah Jazz, even without Donovan Mitchell tonight. You've got a healthy Evan Mobley. You've got a healthy Darius Garland. Max Strus back in the starting lineup, right? Don't know what the heck's going on with Dean Wade. Don't know when he'll be back. You can't count on him. So Wade and Mitchell are out for sure. As far as I know, last time I checked. No, Mitchell is for sure. I'm assuming Wade is, because we haven't heard any positive news on Dean Wade. So, Lauri Markkanen, I think, is out. Jordan Clarkson, I believe, is out for Utah tonight, two former Cavaliers. So, this is a winnable game. This is a must-win game tonight for your Cleveland Cavaliers. It tips off at 9 o'clock. So, if you have Bally's, you can watch it on Bally's tonight, or, find one of the Cavaliers radio network stations. We're carrying the Guardians tonight. So they have to win tonight because I don't see them beating Phoenix, the Clippers, or LA's other team, the Lakers. Notice I said the other team because they're behind the Clippers. LeBron, Saturday. Kawhi, Sunday. Kevin Durant, Wednesday. Right? Devin Booker just dropped 52 on somebody last night. Bradley Beal starting to, you know, come around for Phoenix. So this is the game that is the most important of these next four. This is a, I don't want to call it a guaranteed win because I can't do that with the Cavaliers. I have no idea what team's going to show up each and every night. Right? This is a must-win game for the Cavaliers. Bank this one and then tomorrow's house money. You win tonight, you can sit Donovan Mitchell again tomorrow. Give him two more days rest before you play the Lakers on Saturday, if his knee responds and he can go on Saturday. But that would be, that's how important tonight's game is. If you can win tonight, find a way to beat Utah, then tomorrow that's house money, man. You just roll out whoever's healthy and see what happens, and then you get 2 days off as part of this road trip that started in Denver and ends in Los Angeles. So that's how I'm looking at the Cavaliers. Upcoming 1, 2, 3, 4 games before they return home, where they should beat Memphis and they should beat Charlotte. So as I look at these final 7 games, to me, there's 3 must-win games and 2 that should be guaranteed wins. Your 2 guaranteed wins should be Memphis at home and Charlotte on the last day of the regular season at home. And you should beat Utah. So if you can go 3-4 in these last 7 games, that puts you at 48 wins. And that pretty much guarantees you at least, worst case scenario, the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. More than likely, it will keep you in that 3-4 conversation. So win 3 out of the 7 tonight in Utah, Memphis, Charlotte for sure, and then see if you steal one against Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers, or the Indiana Pacers. Pacers are coming in a week from this Friday to Cleveland, and that game's going to be huge for them. Hell, by that time, if things go really bad for the Cavaliers, that could leapfrog them over the Cavaliers and drop the Cavaliers down to number 6 or 5 or wherever it is. So a lot happening in these last 7 games for the Cavaliers. So we'll keep you posted on this. We're trying to track down Sam Amico to see if he can join us today to talk a little bit about this and the struggles of the team right now. And, you know, when is Dean Wade going to be back? How severe is this injury to Donovan Mitchell? Are they going to linger into the postseason? And if so, what does that mean to their chances? So we'll see if we can track down Sam Amico. We got a text out to him. We'll hopefully be able to contact him before we're off at 6 o'clock here today to break this all down. What else do I have in store for you today? Oh, yeah, we're going to get into this a little bit, too. And you're going to hear more of it on the Buckeye Roundtable, I'm sure. But this coming weekend, if memory serves me, Carl, let me look at my calendar. Let's see. No, it's not this weekend, is it, Brian? When is the Ohio State spring game? Is that the 13th? I think it is. So we've got some time on that. We've been seeing a lot of kids lose their black stripe right down in Columbus, the newcomers, and I think Will Howard was the most recent one. But we're trying to keep an eye on everything that's going on with the Buckeyes. I saw a story yesterday saying nobody's had a better offseason in college football than the Ohio State Buckeyes. And now the question is, will that translate to, the field and when it matters most? So, yeah, they don't play the spring game this Saturday. It's the following Saturday, the 13th. So there's a little time there, but a lot is still going on with Ryan Day. They had Student Appreciation Day and everything like that, getting the students involved, and they're naming a new running backs coach and everything like that. But we'll keep an eye on today if any of the other big-time Utes or portal transfer players lose their stripe and become full-fledged members of the Ohio State Buckeyes and what that means. 330-450-1480. You want to chime in on any of this? We'd love to hear from you. But when we return, we're going to talk women's college basketball, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, Final Four in Cleveland, all that good stuff with the outstanding head basketball coach of the girls' team at Jackson, Anthony Butch. So stay with us.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.